The reading is taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38, and that's on page 1012 of the Church Bibles. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Let me pray as we begin. Father, thank you so much that you haven't left us to guess about what you're like. Thank you that you've spoken to us. And we can read these words and consider what you say to us and how we should respond. And we pray that each of us, whatever stage we're at in our thinking about Jesus and the claims he makes, we pray that for a few minutes now, we'll listen carefully and consider what he says. In his name, amen. Is it worth following Jesus in 2024? Is it worth it? That's the question we're going to consider for a few minutes this evening. Maybe you've recently started, a bit like David, you've recently started following Jesus. You've kind of made a commitment to him, and you're aware that some of the things Jesus says go against some of the things our society says. And you're kind of faced with a decision. Is it worth going with Jesus even when he disagrees with what our society says? Is it worth following him? Maybe you're different. Maybe you've been a Christian, a follower of Jesus for a number of years, and maybe you feel worn down. Maybe you feel like a fish swimming upstream, and you feel worn down, and you think, 2024, is it worth following him? Would it be easier just to kind of put him to one side, maybe keep him for Sundays, but not really follow him with the whole of your life? Maybe you're in a different category to either of those two. Maybe you're here as someone who wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and you think of yourself this evening as an onlooker, and you're thinking, if in a hypothetical world I did make a commitment to follow Jesus, would it be worth it? Would it be worth it? Is there anything drawing me in to make it worth following Jesus? That's the question we're thinking about. And, last March, I climbed Snowdon for the first time in about 20 years. And I heard lots of the great things about Snowdon. I had some vague memories of it from 20 years ago. And I thought, you know, now's the time to climb Snowdon again. Time's arrived. So I took my friend Jim, and we went along. We drove. We did it in one day, there and back, and got to Snowdon and parked in the car park. And I looked up at this big mountain. I thought, this is pretty big. And the weather's not very nice, it's pretty drizzly, and my footwear's not very good, and I haven't got, you know, all the right gear that you should have. I've heard it's good. Is it worth it? Is it worth going up? Is it worth following Jesus? We're often weighing up, you know, cost versus benefit. And that's what we're doing as we look at these words. Is it worth following Jesus? And in these verses that Fiona's just read to us, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people who are a bit like this kind of semi-big crowd of people here. There are people at different stages. Look down at verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. So you've got different kind of stages of thinking about Jesus represented in these verses. And he wants to speak to each of them given where they're at. And the first thing he's saying to them is, it's up on the screen, if you follow Jesus, you will lose your life. If you follow Jesus, you will lose your life. And that's our first point this evening. You see, it might seem like a little bit of a strange thing to say. If Jesus is trying to encourage people to follow him, maybe he should say something like, if you follow me, you know, you'll have a friend if you feel lonely. If you follow me, then if you feel like you're lacking purpose in life, I'll give you some purpose. If you follow me and you're struggling to be the kind of person that you really want to be, I'll make you the kind of person that you've always wanted to be. He doesn't say any of that. He says, if you follow me, you will lose your life. Look down with me at verse 34, the little 34 on the left-hand side of the page, 1012. He says this, then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Follow him where? Well, there's only one place that people with a cross on their back are going, and that's to their death. Jesus says, if you follow me, you will lose your life. He says it again in verse 35 in those exact words. Little 35, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel. Jesus says, if you follow him, you will lose your life. And if you've read the historical accounts ever of Jesus' life, which I thoroughly recommend doing as an adult, you'll know that if there's one thing that drives Jesus forward in his life on earth, it's going to his death. There's one thing that he's on a mission to do. It's not actually to perform loads of amazing miracles. It's not actually to teach. He's first and foremost come to die. Look down at Mark chapter 8, verse 31. So just above. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man, that's a way of referring to himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Again, he says in Mark chapter 9, so over the other side of the page, Mark chapter 9, verse 30, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. Last time, we're going to see it, Mark chapter 10, so flick over the page now. Verse 32, little 32, page 1015. What does he say? They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed him were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus is determined to go to the cross. Over and over again, he says, the reason I've come here on earth is to go to the cross to save my people. And he says, if you choose to follow me, that's what you're committing to. That's where you're going as well. If you follow Jesus, you will lose your life. Now, over the Christmas holiday, I had the privilege of going to what many people would consider to be the home of good football. Old Trafford. You know, I thought I had to get a Man United reference in for David. I went to the home of good football, otherwise known as Old Trafford. And I went with a friend, and we parked up about a mile from the stadium. Thought that'd be a, you know, good distance, avoid the traffic, walk in. And to our surprise, there weren't many people, there weren't many other football fans around when we parked the car. So we're on Google Maps, sort of following the route that way. But then when we got a bit closer to the stadium, we realized there were lots of kind of die-hard, particularly one particular group of what looked like diehard Man United fans walking down the road. And we thought, it's probably a safe bet to follow them. Because if you follow the diehard Man United fans, there's only one place you're going to end up. You're not going to end up at the cinema. You're not going to end up at Pizza Hut. You're going to end up, and sure enough we did, at Old Trafford. And it's a little bit like that with Jesus. If you choose to follow Jesus, you will lose your life. You will go to the cross. Not literally, but you will follow him to your death. And that's why baptism, what we've just witnessed here, is such a helpful picture, because it's a picture of going under the water, of dying under the very cold water in this situation, which is quite appropriate, I think, dying and then rising again to new life. That is what it means to become a Christian. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to lose your life. I'll get rid of the picture just in case it's distracting. Now, when I was at school, I was kind of interested in Jesus. I was one of the sort of onlookers. I was interested in Jesus, but I was petrified of what people would think of me if they knew that I was kind of going to church and doing some Christian kind of things. I remember particularly there was our school Christian meeting was in a room at the entrance of the school, and on either side of the room there were two big glass doors, and it was between, I think, 8 and 8:30 on a Tuesday morning, and we'd sit in this classroom, and everyone who walked into school at that time could look in and see everyone who's in the meeting. And I spent the whole time kind of looking over my shoulder, petrified that someone was going to see me in the meeting and then ask me, were you in that meeting just now? And I'd have to sort of deny it or say that it was someone that looked like me. I was completely petrified of what people might think of me if they knew that I kind of belonged to the Christian Union, belonged to Jesus. To use the words of the passage in verse 38, if you look down at it, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, that was me. That was me as a teenager. Fast forward a few years, I went to university and I met this guy called Pete on the first day of university, and he was wearing a polo shirt which said on it, Christian Union. And I saw it and I thought, oh my goodness, this is a brave move. And I chatted to him, and in our first conversation, he said, oh yeah, I'm Pete, I'm actually leading the Christian Union. And I thought, surely you want to keep that kind of thing quiet, because you're going to get seriously mocked and called a loser. And for the year, lo and behold, sure enough, he was known as Christian Pete. And initially, people thought he was a little bit of a loser. But actually, as the year went on, people really began to respect him, because they could see that Jesus' opinion of him mattered more than theirs did. And it was quite liberating. There was me thinking, I want to try and please Jesus on a Sunday, but I want to try and, keep up a good name with my university friends. And Pete was saying, actually, Jesus' opinion of me matters more than my friends. And I was really, really challenged by that. And it's great. It's a real encouragement to see David standing up here, declaring to lots of people that he follows Jesus. And in some sense, that's a brave thing to do, because it's not really what people do in 2024. But Jesus says, are you with me? Are you with me? To come back to our question then, is it worth following Jesus? There is an undeniable cost to following Jesus. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Well, by the end of that initial verse, verse 34, I reckon lots of people in that crowd are thinking, no thanks, I'm not up for this. I'm turning back at the car park of Snowdon. Maybe you're thinking, I want to walk out now because, I don't really like the sound of this. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Well, the second thing he says to us, if you follow Jesus, you will gain eternal life. You will gain eternal life. Not earn eternal life, but gain eternal life. That's where Jesus is going. And if we follow him, we will gain eternal life. Look down at me at verse 35. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Verse 36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul, by which he means eternal life? Verse 37. What can anyone give in exchange for their soul, in exchange for their eternal life? Verse 38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you will gain eternal life. It's an incredible promise, isn't it? You can either save your life now and lose it for eternity, or Jesus says you can lose your life now and gain life for the whole of eternity. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it hard to get my mind around what we mean by eternity. So I've got a little visual aid that might help. Here we go. I'd like you to imagine that. I'll take the knot out just for that. I'd like you to imagine that this rope goes on forever. It doesn't actually. It does stop in the bag, but it's a pretty long rope. I'd like to imagine it goes on forever. And I'd like you to imagine that this rope here is a timeline of your existence as a person. And this red bit here represents the time that we spend here on Earth. And the blue bit, all the rest of it, represents eternity, forever. And the crazy thing, I think, is that if you're anything like me, you spend all of your time, almost all of your time, thinking about this bit, what happens in, you know, our earthly life. You know, so you think, oh, okay, I'm going to work really hard on my exams here so I can go to a good university here, and then I'm going to hopefully get a good job here and so earn lots of money here, and then, you know, I'll go on some nice holidays here, and then I might have a good retirement here. And you think, wow, what about all this? And so often we make decisions based entirely on this and neglect the whole of eternity. And Jesus is very simply saying, if we choose to follow him and lose our lives for the red part, then we gain the whole of eternity. You see, if we come back to our question, is it worth following Jesus? If this red part is all that exists, then you'd have to say, no, it's absolutely not worth following Jesus, is it? I mean, it's a joy to follow Jesus, but if the red part is all that exists, then it's not worth following him. However, if the blue part is true, then it becomes an absolute no-brainer, doesn't it? I was in a group a couple of years ago at school, and I showed this illustration to these guys, and I said to them, if someone offered you £36 million, which was a jackpot that had been recently won in Worcester, or a guaranteed place in heaven, which would you choose? And, you know, they were like, they're kind of umming and ahhing. And then one of the guys just turned around to his friends and said, guys, are you crazy? It's heaven. And he's absolutely right. He wasn't a follower of Jesus, but he could see the point Jesus was making. Verse 36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world in the red part, yet forfeit their soul, forfeit eternal life? I'm not that good at making decisions. You know, I go into Next and I can't even buy a jumper because I just can't decide, you know, which one's worth buying. But this is a decision I can make. This is an absolute no-brainer. Is it worth following Jesus? Yes, it's hard. Yes, he demands our whole lives. but eternity is at stake. When I was living in Bristol, which is where I lived before I lived in Worcester, a good friend of mine gave up being a Christian. He just decided it was too hard. He decided he didn't want to kind of pick up his cross and follow Jesus. I think the particular issue for him was that there was a girl that he really liked, and he realized that he couldn't, in good conscience, go out with her if he was following Jesus. Jesus or the girl? And he chose the girl. And to my knowledge, that's still the decision he's making. Jesus would say he's made a really foolish decision. Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, for someone to gain the girl of their dreams, yet forfeit their soul? I'd like to finish with a quote from a guy called C.S. Lewis, who in his writings, he helps us to feel the realities that Jesus talks about. And he's got a nice quote at the end of one of his books, which says this. He's talking about what is eternity gonna feel like? Eternity with Jesus gonna feel like? He says this. Now at last they were at the beginning, chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. There are some great things we can enjoy in this world, aren't there? You know, maybe you've had a great holiday recently. Maybe you've had a great time with friends and family over Christmas. Maybe you've received an amazing Christmas present. Jesus says, nothing in this world can compare with the joy of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can read these words and consider these matters. And we pray that whatever stage we're at, whether we've recently become a Christian, whether we have been following Jesus for a number of years, whether we're just thinking about these things for the very first time, we pray that you will help us to consider what we make of Jesus and his claims. In his name we pray. Amen.